First Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, we're thankful for your word, and we pray, God, that you would fill us with understanding tonight, ever and always changing us, transforming us by the renewing of our minds. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace to you and peace, special favor and blessing. We started this year with the Lord telling us to go into all the world and make disciples, commanding them to observe all the things that he had taught us. And in order for people to observe, there has to be something to see, right? There is a manifestation of the Lord. God wants to manifest himself to us and through us. His desire is to do that, and he's good at what he desires. The only thing that can possibly hold him back is us. So grace and peace from God and from the Lord Jesus Christ. If Paul could offer grace and peace from God and from the Lord Jesus Christ, can you do the same? You should be able to do the same, right? He spoke with confidence. He said, I'm speaking to you grace and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. God is the Father of the living. Jesus Christ was alive at the time, seated at the right hand of the Father, and Paul was just continuing the business of the Father. He said, I thank God concerning you for the grace of God which is given to you by Christ Jesus. So it was given to them by Christ. Although Paul presented the gospel to them, the gospel was the good news, is the good news, will always be the good news, and the gospel in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Simple, yes, true, absolutely profound, beyond our understanding for the most part. But the Lord has challenged us and at the same time promised us that we can have it to get understanding. To get this, let the Word dwell in you richly. Let it get deep down into you. Let there be rooted and grounded and producing all around you. God wants His Word to produce for your life. And in producing for your life, you will then produce for the lives of others. People have got to be able to see. Today, we received a letter, Hannah Ford's newsletter, and in Hannah Ford's newsletter, she made a statement, something that she had written, something that she had seen in a dream, and then she made that statement concerning abortion. She said that she was in a grocery store in California, and that she was there, and there was a woman just oohing and aahing over a little baby and talking about how wonderful the baby was, with an Obama sticker on their clothes. And finally she said, do you know you're so enamored with this child and yet you are going to cast your vote, your advertising, for someone who has no care for life whatsoever? And then along with that she sent a link where you could watch a very disturbing video and a very clear word by an actor concerning this atrocity. And the thing is, you see, it was a clear manifestation. It was something that if you see it, you cannot deny the truth. And see, what the Lord wants to do with our lives in Christ is to make Him in us such a clear manifestation that people can reject the truth, but they can't deny that they have seen the truth. You see, it's one thing to say, oh yes, I believe God heals when He feels like it. It's another thing to say, by His stripes you were healed. On Friday night, a young man was hurt in a football game, and he was hurt. And he laid there very motionless, and it did not look good. And so at the game, we prayed. I have the microphone. I can pray. And we just asked the Lord to take care of this and strengthen him and whatever. I can't remember what exactly was prayed, but... And then that night I was visiting with some of the gentlemen around me when I do that, and I said, I'm believing that it won't be what they thought it was. And so ultimately the young man goes to the hospital, and rather than flying him somewhere for surgery or whatever the case might be, he came back with just a little elastic thing around his leg and walked into school. And so then that day, he was going, and of course they were still holding out for something bad. And he was going to go for an MRI, and I said, you know, he said, I said, let's just plan on it being nothing. And one of the coaches said, I think there's some damage there. That thing was, I said, well, is that what you want? He said, well, no, it's not what I want. Then why would you say that? Let's plan on something better. Let's pray. Okay, Roger. Well, he came back from not even getting an MRI because the doctor said there was nothing wrong, told him to run on today and that he could play Thursday if he wants to.
This is good.
And so I said to this gentleman that was saying how bad it was, I said, have you talked to him yet? Yeah, I did. And how is he? Well, he said he could play on Thursday. Yeah, I know, Roger. Yeah, you got it. I said, I will get you. But you know, yeah, you run the risk of looking like a fool if you speak the word. But so what? I've been a fool before. I spent 30 years perfecting it. But the Lord watches over His word to confirm. His word, the testimony of Christ, confirmed in you. This is what Paul said to the Corinthians. This is what the Lord says to us. The testimony of Christ confirmed in you. What was the testimony of Christ? That He was the Son of God. That He came to set the captives free. That He came to set at liberty them that are bruised. That He came to give to heal the blind eyes, to raise the dead. His testimony was, these and greater things than these will you do, because I go to the Father. His testimony confirmed in you. Wow, that sounds like fun. Confirming the Word of God. Yes, Mother. Don't bet your inheritance on that, though, Mother. My inheritance. I hope that that's true. There wasn't anybody mocking it. But the fact of the matter is that God wants to confirm His Word through our lives to whoever will believe it. If you can believe, if you will believe, all things are possible to them that believe. It's like there was a song way back when that said, hold on, I'm coming, you know? I mean, it's like sometimes I think that's what the Lord is singing to the church. Just hold on, I'm coming, you know? But He doesn't want us to just hold on, but He'd rather have us hold on than run away. But what if we take the Word and we look at the Word and we say, you know what? I want to confirm the testimony of Christ. I don't want to just sneak into heaven. I want to ride. I want to ride double with the Lord. I don't want to ride beside Him. I want to ride double. I want to hold on to Him. And go along with Him. Christ was confirmed in you so that you became short in no gift. See, they just believed what Paul told them so much that they came short in no gift. Now, some people say, oh yeah, but you know those Corinthians, they got unruly and Paul had to, you know, straighten them out. They were so wild that they were just getting carried away in church, you know. Well, I don't know. He was pretty proud of them. Yeah, he corrected them. Yeah, you might miss the mark. You might a person might just get so excited about the things of God that they forget to check and see if it's God. But you know what? God wants to confirm His Word, and as long as you're in His Word, He'll confirm it. He'll confirm His Word. You know, it may be foolish, but look in later on in chapter 1, it says, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. It sounds foolish to the natural mind, because the natural mind does not receive the things of the Spirit. It sounds foolish to declare, you know, that Christ in you, that you can do all things through Christ. We have been so conditioned to make the things of the Lord conditional. Christians who say, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Christians who say, well, I'm doing better than I deserve. Christ is in us. How in the world can we do better than we deserve? What? Should Christ be, you know, cut short? Did God ever say to Jesus, well, I'll do better than you deserve, son? No. Christians saying, well, I don't know if it's God's will to heal. I don't know if it's God's will to deliver. I don't know if it's God's will to do this or God's will to do that. You know, we don't know everything. We know what God said. Don't we? We should. It's written. We can find it. We can search it out. We can listen for it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. The Holy Spirit was given to us to bring to remembrance the things that the Lord said. The Spirit of Christ in you. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. The message of the cross isn't just Christ Jesus died so you could go to heaven someday. The message of the cross is that it was a broken body, it was poured out wine, and by His stripes you were healed. He was raised into eternal life that we might have life here and now. That we might have life more abundantly, and in the end, eternal life. This is what the Bible says. So, if we are, as Christians with Christ in us, determined to stand up and say, you know, the Bible says it. God's Word says it. The Lord has said. The apostles said, we believe and so we speak. We have seen it confirmed. We have seen the Word manifested, and so we just continue on in that venue. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Well, sometimes it looks like the wise are flourishing. But they're being set up. And they flourish only because those who have godly wisdom don't take the godly stance. Because the enemy says, there's a lot more of them than there are of you. But the Spirit of God says, but one will turn 1,000 and two will turn 10,000. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. What's the math on that? How many can 13 turn? If 2 can turn 10,000? Just go to the powers. It's not just adding, it's multiplication. It's big. It's big. So this little group can take on Southern California. So what happens if everyone believes that Christ in them is their hope of glory? You know, I've been reading this little prayer on book. It has little paragraphs at a time. And one of the things was about prayer, one of the questions is Oswald Chambers. So if you've ever done any of Oswald Chambers stuff, you know he's a little deep sometimes. But he said, if you had to listen to your prayers, would you be excited? My praying has changed since I read that little bitty bit. Get up in the morning and say, Lord, I want to make this a lot more fun for you now. I'd like to make this enjoyable. That squashed any religion I had left when it came to prayer. It's communion with God. And to grow in the understanding that He's more interested in confirming His Word in you than you are in getting it confirmed. See, we have to have a reason. And when our reasons are basically for self-serving reasons, you know, and don't get me wrong, He wants to answer your personal prayers too. There's not a problem with that. But the thing is when our reasoning for our prayers is only so that they're serving us, you know, well, we hesitate to do self-serving things. We need to have a vision that is bigger so that it's the purpose of ours being answered are minimal on the table of our importance, because there's so much more that God can do through our prayers. And what happens then is when we get the confidence to pray out, is all these other things just get added to us. And that's pretty exciting. And then those things are things that can go out because they're answers, they're confirmations, and then they're testimonies. The Lord wants you to have great testimonies. Because He had a great testimony. And His great testimony, confirmed in our lives, brings Him glory. You see, it's always going to bring Him glory, because when we come to this understanding, we just want Him glorified. We just want Him magnified. That's all that really matters. When you get into God's presence and you just settle yourself down in there, after a little while, you begin to have this understanding, nothing else really matters. I don't really need anything else. Nothing else really measures up to just this being with You, Lord. I mean, I just really don't need anything else. And what happens then when we come to that is these other things just begin to come. And as they come, we're very grateful. And we continue to grow in that, and we continue to understand that still that most important thing is that time with God, that, as Jesse Duplantis calls it, throne time. That time just in His presence. The most profound things we do in His presence are often nothing. When we are speechless, much is being said. When we are praying in tongues, the Spirit searches the deep things of God. You know, if you read on in 1 Corinthians, it talks about the fact that the natural mind does not understand the things of the Spirit. And no man can know the spirit of the man except that man. So in other words, you know, sometimes you say, well, I know they were thinking this. You don't know what anybody was thinking unless you're a mind reader. Or when we're so determined that somebody did something maliciously and we don't even know what they were thinking or what they were saying or anything like that, but boy, we can play off of that. The enemy will come up, you know, old Megatron will come up and he'll give you all kinds of stuff with it. But we don't know that. No man can know the spirit of a man except that man. You see, nobody knows exactly what I am thinking inside of me. Nobody knows me but me. God knows me. But in the same sense, then, no one can know the mind of the Spirit except the Spirit. And that's why God gave us the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God, and then the Holy Spirit intercedes and prays according to God's will. And not only that, He sometimes speaks to us a little of the overflow so we have the understanding as well. So it's important. It's important. Paul said, I would that everyone spoke in tongues, because I speak in tongues more than you all. There was a reason for that. It defeats the enemy. It puts up barriers that the enemy can't cross. It heals the sick and raises the dead. And who knows what all the Spirit does, that sometimes we get a little understanding. But again, it's the testimony of Christ confirmed in you. He said, I won't leave you orphans. I'll send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father, I'll ask the Father, and the Father will send Him. And He then, working in us, works to do what? Confirm the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so it's important to know, what was Jesus' testimony? What was His testimony? His testimony was, you feed them. His testimony was, bring them here. That His testimony was, let the little children come unto me. His testimony was, fear not. His testimony was, little child, arise. His testimony is, I'll come with you and heal him. His testimony was, man, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Gave us all kinds of examples of things that he was excited when that soldier, when that centurion said, oh man, I'm not worthy that you should come to my house, but I know if you just say the word, it'll happen. Oh man, was Jesus excited. Everybody look here, I found somebody with faith. Here's somebody that understands authority. Here's somebody that understands what I've been trying to tell you. Here's somebody that understands that if I speak the word, God does it. Here's somebody that understands. Everybody act like him. The Apostle Paul said, imitate me. Not because he wanted to be something, but because imitate me as I imitate Christ. And he was telling them and he was telling us, this thing that Jesus did, it doesn't stop with me. It goes to you. It doesn't stop with you. It goes to the next one. It doesn't stop with the next one. It goes to the next one. And it just keeps going and it just keeps growing, because you are to confirm the testimony of Jesus Christ. If he didn't want us to do that, then his trip here was useless, wasn't it? It lasted 3.5 years. Great show, we're closing the show. Does that make sense? Well, if it did, it didn't work, because they couldn't close the show. The Holy Spirit just keeps it going and going and going. Why? Because that's the way God wants it. And even when people try to quench the Spirit, they can't stop Him. You just can't stop them. It's like trying to keep a little kid sitting on a chair for a long, long time. You just can't stop them. Eventually, they're going to move on. And that's what the Lord trusts about His Word, is that when the Word is dwelling in people, you know, we may calm it sometimes. We may try to put it asleep sometimes, but it just keeps bubbling. And it's going to accomplish what God intends for it to accomplish. I was thinking about that and I thought, you know, it's interesting that there's a lot of people, Christians included, that will pay more attention to what the weatherman says than what the Word of God says. If the weatherman says it's going to be cold and terrible tomorrow, everybody prepares for cold and terrible. Not only that, but they'll call somebody and say, you know, it's going to be cold tomorrow. It's going to be terrible tomorrow. But the Lord says, I am come that you might have life. And you get on the phone and say, hey, I'm going to have life. No. That's not really too good of a deal, is it? Oh, it's going to be hot. Close up your houses early and turn on the air conditioner. Don't let the heat overpower you. Man, that's what the weatherman said. And yet, the things of God sometimes just seem to slide off to the side. Well, which is more important? Of course it's the Word of God. Of course it's what God says. We know that. We don't intend to do that. But if we think about it, ooh, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that. That I will let something like that affect me more than I will what the Word of God says. Or somebody comes and says, do you know what so-and-so did? And, man, we can run with that. But the Spirit of the Lord says, pray about everything. Well, sometimes we're a long ways down the street running with something before we think to pray about that. What is it, Vicki? Here?
HSR plan.
Yeah. Here, stop, and respond. Right. I mean, that's health to all flesh. If you hear something good or you hear something bad, stop and respond. Stop. Take the time. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord says and respond to it. God will. I will guarantee you that God will confirm the testimony of Jesus Christ in your life. If you will release it. If you will say it. If you will speak it. If you will practice it. If you will take it as a promise. Not so many words, but an absolute promise from God. I guarantee you. Not because I guarantee it, but because God's Word guarantees it. But I will tell you, He won't fail. He will do it. So speak to the mountain. Don't speak about the mountain. Don't find yourself meditating on the problem. Find yourself praising the one who solves it. And then stand on God's promise that He will confirm the testimony of Jesus Christ and leave it at that. And you will see that does not say in the Bible how long Moses held the stick over the water. It does not say that he held it out there and it instantly parted. It does not say that he held it out there and 2 hours later said, Lord, my arm is getting tired. It doesn't say how long. It just says that he did it and it happened. We were having devotions with the children, the girls this morning, and Vicki brought up we remembered, because Jordan's been working pretty hard and getting pretty tired, and she was reminded of Aaron and her, how when Israel was fighting and Moses was holding up his staff, as long as the staff was up, they were winning. When the staff came down, they began to lose. And so Aaron and Hur sat him on a rock. They figured out, well, you know something? There's a little correlation here. I think we know a way to win. Moses, sit on a rock. We're going to hold up your arms. He held up his hands. They held up his hands. His hands couldn't come down. They won a battle. So in prayer, we hold up one another's hands. In prayer, we strengthen one another. We strengthen others. And the prayer of faith does a great deal. Faith begins with a strong belief in the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we do not believe the testimony of Jesus, then we have nothing to base our faith on. And if, in fact, we believe that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and if we believe that belief in Him can save us, if we believe that, then we need to believe the rest too. Because the rest is just as true as the one thing that everybody wants to be true. But don't you want the rest to be true too? Don't you want it to be true that these and greater things will you do because I go to the Father? Don't you want it to be true that the Lord confirming His word through you affects the lives of other people? That other people might know peace? That other people might know it all? I'll close with this, that I was praying, and as always at this time of year, I think about the people who invited us to a Bible study and how that was going. But as I was thinking about that and preparing in my mind a thank you to write to them once again, the Lord said, "It's getting close." And He was speaking to me, and the picture that He showed me is that for 25 years, there's just been a great anticipation in my heart. I just have known that there was more to God, more to God, more to God, more to God. And the picture that I got was that it was getting to the top, and then I got this picture of a roller coaster. And you know, with a roller coaster, especially those big ones, they climb for a long time. And there's that anticipation as you climb, and as you get closer to the top, it's great. It's great. It's great. It's great. It's great. But man, once you go over that top, what a ride. And roller coasters I can stand. Don't put me on a merry-go-round, but roller coasters I can stand. And I don't know how long I could stand a roller coaster, but you know, the whole ride is good on a roller coaster. The whole ride. The whoom and the wham and the whoom and the run. You know, it's all good. You know, some people say, oh man, life's a roller coaster and the ups and the downs. But you know, on a roller coaster ride, the downs and the ups are all a part of it. They're all fun. They're all, you know, people screaming and, yeah, having a great time, and somebody taking a picture of you and as you're going through, you know, now and these things and stuff like that. And it was like it's been great. Just awesome. You know, if you go to an amusement park, there's that long wait in the line. And then there's, you know, it's a good thing when you finally get on the roller coaster, for goodness sakes. And then it gets going. And of course, in the real world, in the natural world, you may wait 45 minutes. You may wait an hour and a half, and the ride lasts 80 seconds, you know. But that's not how it is with God. When you come into the kingdom of God, you've got a seat. And there's always anticipation of what God's going to do and what God's going to do and what God's going to do and what God's going to do. But I just had this picture of getting somewhere right close to the place where things really take off. I can't imagine how it could be any better. But I do know that it's always fun when you get right there and start to take off. And I believe that the Lord has that for every single one who will believe Him for that. And know that it doesn't matter which direction it twists, which direction it turns, doesn't matter how fast or how slow it's going, it's all a fun ride. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So that must mean that if I keep my joy, I keep my strength. If I lose my joy, I'm getting weak. And His strength is made perfect in weakness, so it just keeps bringing us back and bringing us back and bringing us back, right? So make it your declaration that the testimony of Christ will be confirmed in you. And then look at any and every circumstance and say, for such a time as this, here's an opportunity for the testimony of Christ to be confirmed. this is another opportunity for the testimony of Christ to be confirmed. For the word watches over, Lord watches over his word to perform it. So, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Enjoy it. Enjoy the Lord working through your life in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. What a great ride it is with you, Lord. What a great life it is with you, Lord. May we always be with you, Lord. Trusting you, Lord. Believing you, Lord. And rejecting anything that is not you. Holy Spirit, take a greater hold in our lives and guide us into all truth. We welcome you to guide us into all truth. We know that that was what Jesus said you came to do. Guide us into all truth. We release you. We release ourselves to you to be guided into all truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.